ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। यस्माज्जातम् जगत्सर्वम् यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदम् धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे। ॐ प्राणं देवा अनुप्राणन्ति मनुष्याः पशवश्च ये प्राणो हि भूतानामायुः तस्मात् सर्वायुषमुच्यते सर्वमेव त आयुर्यन्ति ये प्राणं ब्रह्मोपासते प्राणो हि भूतानामायुः तस्मात् सर्वायुषमुच्यत इति तस्यैष एव शारीर आत्मा यः पूर्वस्य तस्माद्वा एतस्मात् प्राणमयात् अन्योन्तर आत्मा मनोमयः तेनैष पूर्णः स वा एष पुरुषविध एव तस्य पुरुषविधताम् अन्वयम् पुरुषविधः तस्य यजुरेव शिरः ऋग्दक्षिणः पक्षः सामोत्तरः पक्षः आदेश आत्मा अथर्वाङ्गिरसः पुच्छम् प्रतिष्ठा। तदप्येष श्लोको भवति यतो वाचो निवर्त तन्ते यतो वाचो निवर्तन्ते अप्राप्य मनसा सह अप्राप्य मनसा सह आनन्दं ब्रह्मणो विद्वान् आनन्दं ब्रह्मणो विद्वान् न बिभेति कदाचनेति न बिभेति कदाचनेति। I'm simply reading. We are going to see this today anyway. तस्यैष एव शारीर आत्मा यः पूर्वस्य तस्माद्वा एतस्मान्मनोमयात् अन्योन्तर आत्मा विज्ञानमयः तेनैष पूर्णः स वा एष पुरुषविध एव तस्य पुरुषविधताम् अन्वयम् पुरुषविधः तस्य श्रद्धैव शिरः ऋतम् दक्षिणः पक्षः सत्यमुत्तरः पक्षः योग आत्मा महः पुच्छम् प्रतिष्ठा। तदप्येष श्लोको भवति। ओके, वी हैव टू सी, वी हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड दि मनोमय आत्मा, मनोमय कोश, what we've understood yesterday, after having negated thoughtfully, carefully, Annamaya, Deha as Annamaya Kosha, simultaneously having resolved the Samashti Virat also into Samashti Pranamaya. Because the Samashti Virat, which is inclusive of Veshti, Annamaya, Kosha, has no independent existence. Being material, being inert, having no independent existence, it is resolvable into Samashti Pranamaya Sutratma, Hiranyagarbha. So you can understand, even the Virat is only name. The name is given only when the ultimate reality itself, we're going to understand later on, the absolute truth itself, seen, the entire gross universe seen as manifestation of knowledge, then we say there is no material world, there's only Ishvara. Knowledge manifest alone is shining in the form of the gross universe. Knowledge manifest alone is shining in him of gross universe. Because the gross universe also cannot shine by itself independently without, in the sense, the gross universe can never have the status of being existent without being known, becoming the known. For it to become the known, there must be something which knows the universe, which knows. Therefore, being existent means having the status of being existent. Having the status of being existent means being known. And being known means being dependent on the knower. Therefore, this gross universe also, the gross universe is also manifestation of knowledge only. Let me make it again very clear. It is like saying the opaque things, when the opaque things are known, only then they are known, they have the status of being existent. The opaque things cannot be known without the light. For opaque things to have the status of being existent, to become the known, they must be illumined. To become the known, to have the status of being illumined, there must be light, isn't it? So without being illumined, they cannot shine. Without shining, they cannot be existent. They cannot have the status of being existent. So for they dependent on the light. So the existence is always inseparably in the presence of light only. The world of opaque things exists only in the presence of the light. Only presence of the light. There is no such a thing called world of opaque things which exists in the absence of light. There is no such a thing. So light does not produce anything in the opaque world. Light does not produce anything in the any opaque thing. And nothing to do with the opaque thing. But still, light is non-distant. Non-distant, light is non-separate. Two words are very important. Light is non-distant and non-separate from the world of opaque things. Therefore, the world of opaque things having its existence, having the status of being existent means only inseparably with the light. Therefore, the word upekti is always said to be the manifest reflection of the light. Light alone is shining as the world of opaque things. Light is different, opaque things are different. But still, we do not see light and opaque things too, because relatively I'm saying, I'm not absolute. Any opaque thing is reflection of light. Because it opaque thing can never exist independently without light being around. In the same way, without manifestation of knowledge, the world will remain the entire objective universe, the gross universe, experienced in the waking state will remain covered in darkness of ignorance. If there's no manifestation of knowledge, that's what happened. I'm going out of the track. Just to explain something, okay? In sleep, the world exists. When we're all fast asleep, does the world exist or not? The world does exist. Where does it go? The world exists, but still, the world, even though it's existent when you're fast asleep, it doesn't go anywhere. For a person who's asleep, the world is as good as non-existent. For a person who's asleep, the world doesn't exist at all. What happens to the world? The vast space, the time, and all everything which exists within the realm of time and space, the living beings, non-living things, relationships, everything, the entirety of the objective universe is inclusive of one's own body, mind, sense complex, remains covered in the darkness of ignorance. When it remains covered in darkness of ignorance, it's undifferentiated, it is unmanifest. Isn't it? That is why what is ignorance? Total ignorance. The total ignorance. The total ignorance is a thing, not absence of knowledge. The total ignorance in terms of not knowing one's own existence, not knowing the existence of the world, is total ignorance. Which is, there's a time, there is total ignorance. It is only ignorance that which is opposed to knowledge. When there is knowledge, there is no ignorance. When there is ignorance, there cannot be knowledge. They cannot coexist. They are opposed to each other. So there is a time in total ignorance, which means the knowing power remains unmanifest. That is how the knowing power operates. The knowing power, otherwise it be avidya or maya, remains unmanifest as total ignorance. Whenever there is total ignorance, I mean, you remain not knowing your own existence. When you remain not knowing the existence of the world, that is when mind is said to be in its deep sleep state. The total ignorance is the what is experienced in deep sleep state. It is deep sleep state of the mind. But you do not sleep, okay? You are awake. You are awake means what? You are ever of the nature of, you never sleep, you never wake up. You're always of the nature of awareness. But what falls asleep is what? When the mind becomes non-functional, the total darkness. Total darkness is what? What is experienced in your deep sleep state? Nothing, nothingness. The nothingness is the total ignorance. The total ignorance, whenever there is total ignorance, there is non-identity. Identity, non-identity being there, there is also experience of absence of pairs of opposites, which is said to be bliss, sukham, isn't it? This is nothing to do with this, but still I want to make it very clear why the gross universe, the entity of the gross universe, which is inclusive of all body, mind, sense complexes, is looked upon as Virat. Because it shines means The world has the status of being existent means it shines. It shines because there is manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am, the world is. Isn't it? Which is, when the knowing power is partially manifest, in the light of the manifestation of knowledge of existence, the world shines. The world can never shine by itself independently without the manifestation of the knowing power in terms of knowledge of existence of the self and the world. That is why we say, just as the world of opaque things shines in the presence of light, the gross universe shines in the presence of the manifest knowledge. Therefore, the whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. It looks upon as manifestation of knowledge instead of being seen as world of inert material things. Then we see it as manifestation of Ishvara. The knowledge manifest is Ishvara. Therefore, the name Virat is attributed. And the gross universe is looked upon as manifestation of knowledge, the name is given as Virat Ishvara. So the Ishvara status attributed to reality is also mithya. Ishvara status attributed is mithya because manifest knowledge also is mithya. And therefore, the world which shines in the manifest world is also manifest knowledge also is mithya. Why? The source of manifestation alone is Satyam. Understand now? The manifest knowledge is Mithya. Therefore, the qualification attributed as Ishvara, the Virat, is also Mithya. The manifest universe which shines depending upon manifest knowledge is also Mithya. It has no independent existence. Is it clear? See, these things are we are supposed to know already. But still, some of you might not have heard this from me, so I had to bring this to understand. Is it clear? This is how, in fact, today you'll be listening to me in Mandukya class, what I'm going to say next. The next thing is what? Now, Sutratma, Pranam Brahma. Pranam Brahma. Sutra, Pranam Brahma, Samashti. So the entity of the subtle manifestation in the form of the pranas, pranam brahma, sutratma also. Of course, now you can say sutratma, I can tell you whole thing now together. Whether samashti prana, samashti manaha, samashti buddhi, samashti indriyani, all of them, we are going to all subtle aspects, we're going to understand as what? Three koshas. As Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha, isn't it? All three koshas also initially mistaken to be the self. Therefore, we have identity with all of them as Atma. So, Pranamaya Kosha, when Pranamaya, and the essence is identified with the Pranamaya, it is Atma. But this Pranamaya also, we understand being non-separate from its corresponding total, Sutratma. That's how we resolve the individuality in totality. Then it's Samashti Sutratma, Hiranyagarbha, Samashti Pranam Brahma also is resolvable into Samashti Manomayaha. Because, so what? The entity, just as Sukshma, Sthulam, is manifestation of knowledge. Sukshma also nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Samashti Suksha Prapancha, the entirety of the subtle universe also, the innate, it's subtle when compared to gross, that's all. So subtle universe, subtle manifestation in the form of power, subtle powers, mind, intellect, etc. Subtle powers are not dependent on gross for their existence, but they're also dependent on what? Manifest knowledge. Without manifestation of knowledge, they cannot be functional, they cannot become conscious, they cannot become sentient. For them to become conscious, sentient, to become functional, They depend on the manifestation of knowledge. That is why in deep sleep state, even when there's no manifestation of knowledge, this knowledge is there, the manifestation is not there, then the mind becomes non-functional. It's present, it is conscious, still non-functional. All sense words are non-functional. Why they all become non-functional? They're there, the rascal is non-existent. They're not even known. Even existence is possible only when they become known. For all the subtle aspects to become the known, they must, to have the status of being existent, they become conscious, to become sentient, to become functional, they depend on the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, we have to understand even the entirety of the subtle universe also is mithya. There's no independent existence. So, but we are understanding very beautifully, step by step. The whole subtle understands first, you understand as samashti vyashti pranaha and samashti pranaha. There's no such a thing called vyashti prana by itself independently, which is part of samashti prana. And in samashti pranaha also, samashti pranam brahma, sutratma, revealed as Hiranyagarbheshwara. Also, the Hiranyagarbha status is mithya, sutratma status is mithya. And then this also mithya, has no independent existence. It is all about in samashti manaha, samashti manaha. Understand? Now we are understanding manomaya. So here, the manomaya, manomaya is not, we understand itself, vritti rupani. Vrittihi, please make a note, vrittihi is stilinga shabda. Vrittihi means a thought. The word vritti has so many meanings in different contexts. And one of the important meanings of the word vritti is what? Thought form, thought modification or a thought form. Thought. So, thought is inexplicably subtle, very subtle, much subtler material product. You cannot see how the thought looks. Thought has to be understood always in terms of knowledge, experience, cognition. Oh, what is thought? There's knowledge is there, then that is thought. And also emotions. We have to understand here. The whole antakkarana message. So here, the manas, we analyze now. The thought modifications constitute the manomaya. Thought, we understood that. And this, for this, when I analyzed this manomaya, because now when we have it identity with the manomaya, then we take it as atma. In this analysis, here, only here, Upanishad presents the Vedas as its limbs. We are analyzing manomayaha, mistaking it to be atma, we are analyzing it. And this Vyashti manomayaha also is non-separate from Samashti manaha Hiranyagarbha. The totality of minds is Samashti manamsi. Totality of minds is also said to be Hiranyagarbha. Because any thought, having the status of being thought, it shines, it has existent means, is because of the manifestation of knowledge. No independent existence. That is when every thought is also what? Every thought modification is manifestation of Ishvara. Manifestation of knowledge. Because thought has the uniqueness. Having the direct, in being a manifesting medium of consciousness. Even the physical body, physical body has only, becomes manifest, becomes live. The gross universe has status of being existent only because of the manifestation of consciousness in the mind. But now we say, the manifestation of knowledge is directly there in the mind, because mind is a manifesting medium. That mind has a glory, but still, if this mind also, without manifestation cannot have the status of being existent, cannot shine by itself. Anyway, so this, unlacing without the conscious, just the mind alone. What is mind? Mind is a subtlest matter. Much subtler matter is the mind, constituted of what? Countless number of thought modification, vritti parinamaha. Okay, this is what we understood yesterday. And here, Upanishad presents the four Vedas as its limbs. Yajurveda shiraha. So Yajurveda forms its head, and Rig and Sama form the wings, and Atharvaveda, consisting of mantras revealed to sage Atharva and Angiras, forms the pucham, the tail part of this Manomaya Atma, and Brahmana portion forms the trunk. This much you have seen yesterday, correct? And there, what is a thought was beautifully explained. Remember now, by way of explaining a thought here, not even a thought. This, what is a mantra? What is a Veda mantra? Veda mantra is always in the form of a thought only. Because it is very difficult for people who are not of to understand. People think Veda also must be something written, like something written or composed by, like how other books have been written, isn't it? Rida Kiravi means it has never been written. No, it never been written means what? It was never written means it has been there. Veda Shastram has been there beginninglessly. And it is going to be there endlessly also. How beginninglessly it is going to be there? How beginninglessly it has been there? How endlessly it is going to be there? Like the world. This universe, the entirety of the universe, elements and elementals, all these actual phenomena, they may undergo changes, the forms may undergo changes, but still the elements and elementals, all the phenomena, the entirety of the objective universe, material universe also, is there beginninglessly, is going to be there endlessly. There's no creation of the universe, there's no destruction of the universe. But only thing is, it becomes unmanifest, becomes manifest. And it's becoming manifest, becoming unmanifest is because of the power, because of the Maya. The power of the reality is of the nature of becoming manifest, remaining unmanifest. Why does it do? That is how it can be. Okay, that is the nature of the power. And this power, if you analyze, it doesn't exist independently. It is inseparable, non-separate from its source, the abstract reality. That is why it is by itself it is not there. Really it is not there. It is as though there. That's why it's called Maya. It's as though means what? There's not such a thing called power independently. And this power, and because manifest is knowledge, then in the light of knowledge, everything shines. When the power becomes unmanifest, everything remains unmanifest again. Which means the world has no creation, no destruction. Though it's of the nature of undergoing changes. Everything material is of the nature of undergoing changes. But still, in this we say, that's why the world is perennially eternal. The universe also is perennially eternal. Means it is beginningless, endless. But every time it becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. Goes and comes, goes and comes. The same thing comes back. So it is perennially eternal, we say. In the same way, we say Veda Shastram also perennially eternal. It's called Veda Shastram has a status of being പ്രവാഹ നിത്യത്വം. ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് പ്രവാഹ നിത്യത്വം. പ്രവാഹ നിത്യത്വം മീൻസ് ഹാവിംഗ് സ്റ്റേറ്റസ് ഓഫ് ബീങ് പെരിനിയലി ഇറ്റേണൽ. Eternally, Vedic wisdom has been flowing. Okay. And for it to flow, what is the means, isn't it? How does the wisdom flow, keeps flowing? Through the parampara. The parampara of, through the lineage of teachers. So if it is, it's been flowing through the minds of the lineage of teachers, Vedic wisdom, isn't it? Means, when did it begin? The flow. That's why we say, Rishi Moolam never ask. Nadi Moolam never ask. Never ask, where does the river first begin to flow? We go in search of, you know, Moolam of Ganga. Moolam, you go and search for the Moolam of Thames. Where exactly, any river for that matter, where exactly the river begin? Go and trace. You can go, finally you can go and find something, but still that is not the first place. You can never trace really exactly the beginning point of a river. Because many, many streams must be joining somewhere in some mountains. Many, many streams must be joined somewhere in some somewhere, and they must be flowing together. You find one point, I have to go to another point. You can never make out. Nadi Moolam, okay? The source of river cannot be really traced. You can say some point, you can say this is from exactly from the, this is the place where River Thames begin. You can say, but like even if you say from where does the water come from to that particular point. Have you ever thought about it? You can never trace the real source, the beginning of the river. In the same way, Rishi Moolam. Rishi Moolam means what? Okay, which mantra came from which mind? Is it? Never trace, because Rishi Moolam is all the mantras. We say the mantras have been always there. So when you, non-traceable moolam, the source cannot be traced. That's why we say, because all the mantras are manifestations of knowledge. Therefore, they always remain unmanifest along with the world and becomes manifest every time the universe becomes manifest. Therefore, Vedas also have this Pravaha Nityatvam, perennial eternity. That's why it is said to be timeless Shastra. Okay, let us keep it aside, downside. Now that is why here, Shankara Bhagavatpada, taking this opportunity, when we analyze this Manomaya Kosha, stop. Let us understand first of what a mantra is. Even though all this, the mantraha, mantra is nothing but the manu. What's all, it's always name of thought. And having explained what is Yajur mantra, he said the same way the Rig and also Sama. All the mantras are like that. Because it is natural for people to think they must be in the sound form. I tell you, mantra is in the form of a thought, is the primary meaning. Yes, mantra is in the form of a thought. That is the primary meaning. Mantra has a thought form, means it's a primary meaning. Mantra means that which is the form of a thought. Mantra, that which is the form of a sound, is secondary meaning. Why? Because mantras do obtain in the form of thoughts. They also obtain the form of words. Only when they are revealed, only when they are expressed, when they are taught. Mantras obtain in the form of words only when they are expressed, when they are taught. Because they have to, any thought, a knowledge in the form of thought has to become expressed in the form of a word. And the word heard through the ears again has to become knowledge in the form of a thought. And so thought form to word form, word form to thought form, thought form to word form to thought form. That's why it's called Veda is also Shabda Brahma. Veda is said to be Shabda Brahma because Veda consists of only words. All the words are originally in the form of thought only. Even music in Vedic culture is Brahma, Nada Brahma. Music is Nada Brahma. Veda is Shabda Brahma. Knowledge, for any body of knowledge is Brahma for us, Ishvara. Because the source of knowledge happens to be only one. Any knowledge is Ishvara for us. Any knowledge is divine for us. Now the Brahma, Shabda Brahma. What I want to say, the Veda, especially Veda mantras, are always in the name of thoughts only. When expressed, they become words. This you must remember. Okay? Yesterday, all you understood. Because they received in the minds of the rishis, and therefore they obtained the form of thoughts only. When the source is non-traceable, we say Ishvara. Bhagwan is the beginning link of the lineage of teachers. That much you have seen yesterday's class. Okay? Now we're going to see something today. Let us see today. Manaso hi sthana prayatna, sthana prayatna, nada, swarna, swara, varna, pada, vakya, vishaya. I want to memorize this. What is a vritti? What is a mantra? Manasaha hi sthana prayatna nada swara varna pada vakya vishaya tat sankalpatmika tat bhavita vrittihi mantraha. Shotradhikarana dvara yaju sanketa visishta yajuhu ityuchyate. Evam, rig, evam, samacha, in the same way, rig, in the same way, sama. Evam cha, mano vrittitve, mantranam vrittireva avartyate, iti manasaha japaha upapadyate. So, just because mantras are in the form of thoughts only, even there's a possibility of manasa japaha. Anyatha avishayatvat mantrahana avartayitam shakyaha ghatadivat iti manasa japaha na upapadyate. Mantravrittis chodyate, mantravrittihi cha chodyate bahushaha karmasu. All you have seen yesterday itself. Now, okay, today's class. Akshara vishaya smritya, akshara vishaya smritya, avritya, sorry, no, not worth it. Akshara vishaya smritya vritya mantra vrittihi syat iti chet. Okay, here, when it was already explained that vritti, any mantra is whether rig mantra, ajur mantra, asama mantra, it is always in the form of a thought. First. Okay? We understood. There is a thought form of the word specific word, and thought of the word, also of the sentence, statements, words, sounds, and even the specific, the sounds, the place of utterance, and the effort involved in the sounds, the thought form of the whole thing, which is a mantra, isn't it? It has a specific thing, attribute. Then it is that we say it's Yajur Mantra, Sama Mantra, Atra Mantra, etc. Okay, now here, it's made very clear, mantra is always in the form of a thought, we understood. Now here, a person comes with a doubt. When a doubt is presented, he is understood as what? Somewhat like an objection. Not actually objection, he has a doubt. Why the doubt comes? Because we always hear words, isn't it? With reference to worldly knowledge, what happens? We listen to the teacher. The teacher explains things. And we hear the words. The words heard properly, the attention, they reach the mind, then becomes knowledge. Knowledge imparted in the form of word, imparted through communication, also goes in the form of, enters into the mind of a person in the form of words through the ears. Becomes knowledge, isn't it? So here, that's called, you remember, suppose you remember what is being taught in the class. Then the knowledge of things, what is heard and remembered, is called what? Smriti Vrittihi. Vishaya Smriti Vrittihi. Vishaya Smriti Vrittihi means the thought form of things, thought form of things heard and remembered. Vishaya Smriti Vrittihi. Whereas mantra is what? Just the vritti. Mantra is already in the form of a thought only. It expressed alone becomes a word. Whereas the knowledge of the material world, anything when the teacher is taught, whether it can be any knowledge, any discipline taught, what happens? The knowledge first, knowledge is imparted. Even that knowledge also the teacher must have understood from somewhere else. Puja Swamiji always says any knowledge for that matter. Knowledge is in the mind of a teacher, thoughts only. And the thoughts become expressed. Knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts becomes expressed through words. So any teacher has to speak. No teacher can come and sit keeping his eye. No, he cannot come impart in silence. Okay? Any teacher has to open his mouth and speak. And the words come. Every word that comes out of the teacher's mouth, pertinent to any discipline of knowledge, what now? Carries knowledge. Carries information, and then it goes through the ears, reaches the mind. In the mind, what happens again? Knowledge again becomes knowledge in the form of a thought. In teacher's mind, it is in the form of a thought, knowledge, thought form. Knowledge is in the form of a thought in teacher's mind. Then expressed as a word, again reaches a student's mind, again becomes what? Thought. But here we say, such knowledge, we say, is Vishaya Smriti Vrittihi. The knowledge received, heard, remembered is in him of a thought. Vishaya Smriti Vrittihi. So here the student is asking, even Veda mantras, okay? Veda mantras also must be like that. So he's asking, Akshara Vishaya Smritya Vritya Mantra Avritti Syat. Mantra Avritti, repetition of mantra, must be possible because of what? Akshara Vishaya Smritya Vritya. Because of the vritti, thought form of the memory. Thought form of the memory of the word heard and retained in the mouth. Akshara Vishaya, Akshara Vishaya here is the mantra. Akshara means mantra. Akshara Vishaya Smritya Vritya Mantra Vrittihi. Mantra Vritti means what? Repetition of the mantra is actually repetition of the remembered word. Repetition of the mantra is a repetition of the remembered mantra, which was remembered, which is kept in memory. It is possible to repeat the mantra which a person heard and retained in his mind. So from his memory, it is possible to for one to repeat. That is what his question, that's what his doubt. Repetition of mantra is possible, must be possible, simply through the repetition, simply by repeating the mantra remembered, heard, retained and remembered. Is it clear? So it doesn't need to be in the thought form. It must be in the sound form. The nithas must be heard from the teacher. It was written in the mind. Then mantra. That's what is repetition. A mantra. So Shankaracharya says, gives the answer. What's the answer? Where, when the chet comes, there ends the purupaksha. Akshara Vishaya Smritya Vritya Mantra Vrittihi Syat iti chet means if it is said, if it is held, if it is said that repetition of the mantra is possible simply by repeating the mantra remembered. That's the question comes. So he says, no. Mantra repetition is not the repetition of the memory of the mantra. Mantra repetition is not the repetition of the memory of the mantra. For reason he gives, Mukhyartha Asambhavat. Mukhyartha Asambhavat. If we say repetition of a mantra, Veda mantra, okay? Repetition of a Veda mantra is the repetition of the memory of the mantra, if we say, then it goes against the primary meaning. Mukhyartha Asambhavat. Mukhyartha Asambhavaha means what? It contradicts the primary meaning of the word mantra. So what is the primary meaning of the word mantra? The mantra is always of the thought, in the form of a thought. Mantra is that which obtains in thought form. That which obtains in thought form is a mantra. And that which obtains in thought form, when it gets expressed alone, is in the word form. So, mantra obtaining in word form is the secondary meaning. Mantra, after thought form, is the primary meaning. Mukhyartha. Mukhyartha, gaunartha. We accept both, but what is the primary meaning? That which obtains in thought form is a mantra. Mantra is always in thought form. But he says, repetition of a mantra is repetition of the memory of the mantra. Shankaracharya says, no, na. Why? Repetition of the mantra is actually repetition of the mantra in thought form, mantra only. It is not repetition of the memory of the mantra. Memory of the thought. Because it goes against the primary meaning, mukhyartha asambhavat. Then he quotes a mantra. Trihi. I'll again explain what is meant by perennial eternity of the Veda. I'll explain again later on. Okay. Trihi prathamamanvaha triruttamam. Yes, a person's a quotation here. Shankar Bhagavatpada, to explain that, he gives a mantra here. Trihi prathamamanvaha triruttamam iti. Trihi prathamam anvaha trihi uttamam iti rig avrittihi shruyate. See, there is a mention. It is heard. What is heard? The mention of the repetition of a given rig mantra. Repetition of a rig mantra. It is heard of the repetition of a rig mantra. Rigavrittihi shruyate. Okay. And what is said there? What is heard there? Trihi prathamam anvaha. Trihi prathamam anvaha. There's an instruction pertaining to the repetition of mantras. This instruction pertaining to repetition of mantras is given in the Karmakanda Taittiriya Samhita. What is it said there? Trihi prathamam anvaha triruttamam. During the performance of some ritual, it is said that there are 8 mantras. During the performance of ritual, there are 8 mantras. Of the 8 mantras, it said, prathamam trihi, the first mantra, the first mantra must be repeated 3 times. Trihi prathamam trihi anvaha. What is it? It's completely Vedic language. Okay, we can't understand it. It's not conventional. Trihi anvaha. Prathamam means the first. Trihi means 3 times. Trihi anvaha, which means the first mantra must be repeated 3 times. Uttamam trihi. Trihi uttamam. Uttamam means what? There are 8 mantras, which we don't know. Okay, we understand from the other commentators to help. The commentators note that 8 mantras in performance of specific ritual, there the instruction is given, the first mantra should be repeated 3 times. Then uttamam trihi. And after 8, rest of the leave, only the 8th one. Uttamam is the last one, concluding mantra. The final one, the 8th one, also should be repeated 3 times. This is how the instruction is given. So what does he want to say through this instruction, mentioning this instruction? Let's understand. What it means, it is implied is, repetition of a mantra is actually, repetition of mantra is repetition of a mantra only. The thought for mantra obtaining in the form of a thought becomes repeated. Repetition of the thoughts only. Repetition of a mantra is a repetition of thoughts. Mantra in the form of a thought. It is not repetition of the memory of the mantra. Repetition of a mantra is repetition of a thought only. It is not repetition of the memory of the mantra. Understand the difference now? Whenever mantra is repeated, it is not repetition of the memory of the mantra. It is repetition of the mantra in the form of a thought. It is subtle. It will become very clear. Don't worry. That's the teaching here. So, by quoting this statement, this is saying this, in this particular month, there's a month, that particular mantra can serve eight mantras. The first must be repeated 3 times and leave the rest. Again, the last one must be repeated 3 times. Such instruction is given. From this instruction also, what is revealed is, that this mantra, Rik means mantra, any mantra, the mantra is always in the form of a thought only, which means it is not an object of thought. Mantra is in the form of a thought, means it is not an object of thought. The whole teaching is what? Repetition of a mantra is a repetition of a thought form, a repetition of the memory of the mantra. So that's how he answers. He says, Tatra richaha avishayatve tad vishayasmritya vritya mantravrittauch kriyamanayam trihi prathamam anvahaiti rigavrittihi mukhyah arthah choditah parityaktah syat. If that understanding is not there, that there is no such thing called repetition of the memory of the mantra, repetition of the mantra only, that is what is to be understood from the instruction here. He says, Tatra ruchaha avishayatve tad vishayasmritya vritya mantra vrittaucha kriyamanayam. If it is mistaken that the repetition of a mantra is mistaken to be the repetition of the memory of the mantra, then what happens? The main meaning becomes rejected. The main meaning of the word mantra becomes rejected. It should not happen. We should always take the primary meaning only. So what's the final conclusion here? Mantraha sada vrittirupaha eva. Mantra is always in the form of a thought only. It is temporarily only, it's available in the form of a word. Tasmat manovritti upadhi parichinnam manovritti nishtam ఆత్మ చైతన్యం అనాది నిధనం యజుశబ్దవాచ్యం ఆత్మవిజ్ఞానం మంత్రాహ ఇతి. తస్మాత్ నౌ అగైన్ వాట్ ఇస్ మంత్ర? నౌ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్డ్ మంత్ర ఈస్ మోర్ రిఫైన్డ్ నౌ. ఓకే, ఆల్రెడీ యూ అండర్స్టూడ్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద మంత్ర. Mantra is that which is name of a thought, we understood, but now slightly more refined meaning of the word mantra is given here, Veda mantra here. Tasmat, what is rig, what is yajush mantra, what is hama mantra, what is atharvaveda mantra? If you ask any mantra, is this is the mantra. Therefore mano వృత్తి ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ మేము థాట్ ఓన్లీ, అండర్స్టూడ్ నౌ. హి సేస్ మనోవృత్తి ఉపాధి పరిచ్ఛిన్నం, మనోవృత్తి నిష్టం, ఆత్మ చైతన్యం అనాది నిధనం యజుశబ్దవాచ్యం ఆత్మ విజ్ఞానం మంత్రాహ ఇతి. దెర్ఫోర్ హి సేస్ తస్మాత్ దెర్ఫోర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆత్మ చైతన్యం. It is the pure consciousness implied with the term Atma, Atma Chaitanyam alone, which is consciousness Anadi Nidhanam, beginning, that consciousness which has no beginning and end. Anadi Anidhanam, Nidhanam is end, no, Adi beginning. Anadi Nidhanam Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness which has no beginning and end alone. మనోవృత్తి ఉపాధి పరిచ్ఛిన్నం, ద కాన్షియస్నెస్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ మనోవృత్తి, ది కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇన్సెపరబుల్లీ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ఉపాధి ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అ థాట్. మనోవృత్తి, మనోవృత్తి ఇస్ అ ఉపాధి, ద థాట్ అబ్టైనింగ్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్, the thought which forms the mind is the upadhi. Manovritti parichinnam, the one indivisible consciousness associated with every thought form obtaining in the mind. Manovritti upadhi parichinnam, అనాది నిధ ఆత్మ చైతన్యం అనాది నిధనం మనోవృత్తి ఉపాధి పరిచ్ఛిన్నం, ద ప్యూర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇంప్లిమెంటెడ్ ఆత్మ విచ్ హెస్ నో బిగినింగ్ అండ్ ఎండ్ అండ్ విచ్ ఈస్ యాస్ దో లిమిటెడ్ బై దిస్ లిమిటింగ్ అడ్జంక్ట్ కాల్డ్ ఉపాధి ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ థాట్ అబ్టైనింగ్ ఇన్ ది మైండ్. మనోవృత్తి నిష్టం, మనోవృత్తి నిష్టం, మనోవృత్తో నిష్ట, ద కాన్షియస్నెస్ విచ్ అబైడ్స్ ఇన్, అబైడ్స్ యూనిక్లీ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ థాట్ ఫామ్, ద కాన్షియస్నెస్ అబైడ్స్ యూనిక్లీ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ థాట్ ఫామ్, మనోవృత్తి నిష్టం అలోన్ ఇస్ వాట్ యజుశబ్దవాచ్యం ఈస్ మెంట్ బై ది వర్డ్ యజుహు. యజుశబ్దవాచ్యం ఇస్ మెంట్ బై ది వర్డ్ యజుహు. ఆత్మవిజ్ఞానం, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆత్మవిజ్ఞానం. ఆత్మ విజ్ఞానం హియర్ ఈస్ వాట్ విజ్ఞానం ఈస్ the knowledge obtaining in the form of yajur mantra is pervaded by what? The pure knowledge. The whole thought itself is looked upon as knowledge. Therefore, atma vijnanam. So yajur mantra is knowledge pervaded by consciousness. It's a knowledge, consciousness manifests this knowledge. Consciousness alone is in the form of thoughts which are all knowledge. So what he says, what is a mantra? Don't take mantra for mantra. Every mantra is knowledge. And how it is knowledge? And he said, Mano vritti upadhi, atma chaitanyameva mantraha, atma chaitanyameva. Atma chaitanyameva mantraha. How atma chaitanyameva mantraha? This conscious, pure consciousness, anadhinidhanam, mano vritti upadhi parichinnam, mano vritti nishtam, three adjectives describing consciousness. Mano vritti upadhi parichinnam, mano vritti nishtam, anadhinidhanam, yajushabda vachyam, atma vijnanam, atma chaitanyam mantraha. So mantra is nothing but the pure consciousness. The pure consciousness alone does not become mantra. The pure consciousness obtaining in every thought uniquely. Why is it unique? It is distinct but not distant. The pure consciousness obtaining in every thought uniquely. Manovritti nishtam, obtaining in every thought uniquely, and as though limited by the thought obtaining the mind in the form of upadhi, and this consciousness, beginningless, endless consciousness, alone here, obtaining in the thought, limited by this mano, upadhi in the form of thought, as though limited, is meant by the word yajuhu, yajur mantra. And the consciousness, this yajur mantra is nothing but the knowledge pervaded by consciousness. The knowledge pervaded by consciousness means what? The vritti is knowledge being pervaded by consciousness. Is it clear now? This is what is said to be vritti being pervaded by knowledge. Consciousness is knowledge. Suppose if it is not pervaded by consciousness, it is just the vritti. Vritti without consciousness will be what? Inexplicably subtlest material stuff. Being pervaded by consciousness, it is knowledge. Oh, that's the only difference. If you ask me what is specifically vritti, vritti, any vritti, manovritti, any thought modification, inexplicably subtlest material stuff, matter, is a thought. Subtle. It's just matter. But being pervaded by consciousness, that inert thought becomes what? Knowledge. Glowing knowledge. Understand? So what is a mantra? Every mantra is beginningless, endless consciousness obtaining in every thought uniquely. Limited by the thought in the form of upadhi alone is meant by the word yajuhu, yajur mantra. For every mantra is the knowledge pervaded by, it is no more a thought. Every mantra obtaining in our thought is knowledge being pervaded by consciousness. Atma vijnanam. You have to be very careful to understand the meanings here. So atmana vyapyamanatvat atma vijnanam. Is it clear? I've understood this part. Can I go ahead with the next one? Next line. Evam cha, this is how, in this manner only, நித்யத்வ உபபத்திஹி வேதானாம். நித்யத்வ உபபத்திஹி வேதானாம், வேதானாம் நித்யத்வ உபபத்திஹி. This is how this understanding of eternity of Vedas. Nityatvam is eternity. This is how there is understanding the possibility of the perennial eternity of the Vedas. What does it mean? Perennial eternity means what now? Vedas, all Veda mantras, just knowledge. Every Veda mantra is a knowledge. Knowledge in the form of a thought. Knowledge in the form of a thought. Isn't it? Knowledge alone. The thought form, every mantra is of the thought form, which is nothing but knowledge, knowledge being pervaded by consciousness. And because what is being pervaded by consciousness means the consciousness alone, this not, consciousness is eternal, anadi nidhanam. Consciousness being eternal, and there's eternal, beginningless, endless consciousness. Being as though limited by the upadhi in the form of vritti, obtaining in every thought uniquely, pervading every thought, consciousness alone is in the form of mantra, which is nothing but knowledge. Knowledge. Which means the knowledge expressed alone is a word. Therefore, mantra is always in the form of knowledge only, thought only. Mantra being knowledge, knowledge is always in the form of thought only. First. Therefore, what happens? Being knowledge, always remaining in the form of knowledge, it has to become unmanifest. Knowledge becomes manifest, knowledge becomes unmanifest. Becomes manifest, knowledge also is eternal. The source of knowledge is eternal, timeless, beginningless and endless. Therefore, the manifestation also is beginningless and endless. Because the power of reality manifest is knowledge. Power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. Therefore, the power also is eternal. The source of the power is eternal. The power being inseparable from its source. The source of the power being non-separate from its power. The power also is eternal. When it becomes manifest, it becomes unmanifest. Therefore, we say perennially eternal. So, undergoing change, it remains eternal. The source of the power remains eternal changelessly. So, that which is eternal changelessly is absolutely eternal. That which remains eternally undergoing changes is perennially eternal. So now we say consciousness is absolutely eternal because it doesn't undergo any change whatsoever. But the power of consciousness, which becomes manifest as knowledge, remains unmanifest as ignorance, is perennially eternal. Therefore, the vritti jnana, this jnanam also always obtaining, isn't it? Whenever it's manifest, where? Manifestation is power only when there's a vritti. Consciousness is dependent on vritti for its manifestation. Therefore, here all the Veda mantras are knowledge in the form of thoughts. Being pervaded by consciousness, having consciousness obtaining in it, being limiting the consciousness as though. Therefore, yajur, that alone is said to be yajur mantra. దిస్ హౌ యూ హెవ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ వేదానాం నిత్యత్వ ప్రవాహ నిత్యత్వ ఉపపత్తి వేదానాం అన్యథా విషయత్వే రూపాది రూపాదివత్ అనిత్యత్వం చ స్యాత్ అదర్వైజ్. If you do not understand how this mantra obtaining in the form of thought is knowledge only. Knowledge means it's in the form of a thought only. Why? Because it is the pure consciousness, timeless consciousness, beginless consciousness, limited, as though limited by the vritti upadhi, obtaining in the every thought uniquely alone, is shining as knowledge of a thought which is pervaded by that consciousness.
No, Swamini, I find it difficult to differentiate between any vritti and mantra vritti.
Yeah.
It could apply to anything like Tiruvasagam or Devaram, anything, couldn't it?
Just how you should say this, see, any knowledge is name of a vritti only. Any knowledge, any knowledge of any object for that matter. Okay? It can be knowledge of any object actually. Any word before coming out, it must be name of a thought only. Therefore, it is knowledge, isn't it? Any word expressed is definitely must have existed in the name of a thought first. That's why every knowledge is divine, no doubt about it. But here what he says, what he says is, Veda mantras alone. See, it can be Tevaram, Tiruvachakam, it can be any amount of knowledge of any object, anything must have in the form of, remained in the form of a thought only originally. Then only it becomes expressed as a word. And the word actually denoting a form and a function. That's why everything is then everything is, that's why the whole Jagat is looked upon as knowledge Ishvara. Everything is looked upon as Ishvara based on the fact of everything being manifestation of knowledge. Because every form shines, every name shines, every word shines, isn't it? The form and the function, it must be what? Now the word is there first. The word first, then the form, then the function. So a word is expression of knowledge. Knowledge alone first comes. That's true. That's why the whole Jagat is Ishvara, we say. There's nothing which is not Ishvara, we can say, because of this understanding that everything shines in the knowledge. Without a vritti inside, you cannot see anything outside. There must be part form, part thought in the mind, only then you can see part outside. Without seeing here, saying that there is a part outside is not possible unless you vritti thought form of the part is inside. That's true. But what is uniqueness about the Veda mantras? Uniqueness about Veda mantras is because the subject matter of the mantras. Subject matter of the mantras, the knowledge, everything revealed by the words of the Veda mantras, originally, before they got expressed, they were received in the form of knowledge only. Straight away, they were in the form of thoughts only. So thought means what? Thought is only in the form of thought is not a word, not anything other outside here. Thought is always internal, subtle form. Any amount of knowledge received by the rishis only in the form of knowledge. Because they were not taught. Rishis were not taught by other teachers. Mantra drashtaraha. Rishis are said to be mantra drashtaraha. Seers of the truths, seers of the facts in the form of Okay, thoughts. So they receive the knowledge. That's what we call the mantra drashta is revealed as mantra drashta is the rishihi. Rishati janati iti rishihi. Because they received the mantras. They understood the facts. Not through any other pramanam. Not by seeing, not by hearing, not by smelling, not by taste, not by anything else. Not even by their own thinking, I tell you. Rishis, intellectual capacity was uniquely, tremendously different. That they were capable of receiving knowledge. Therefore, whatever knowledge was received by rishis, they're all in the form of thoughts only originally. Therefore, the knowledge obtained in the form of a thought, what is that knowledge? Any amount of knowledge which was originally in the form of a thought in the mind of a rishi has no object outside here. Not heard from anywhere and the retained and repeated. No. That is received originally. When? No time for this. So consciousness is eternal. In fact, Pooja Swami always used to say this. Any knowledge is perennially eternal. As you say, any knowledge is perennially eternal because where does the consciousness is eternal. Consciousness is the only source of any knowledge. Therefore, any knowledge must be eternal only, perennially eternal. No doubt about it. But here specifically we are talking about the mantras. His Pooja Swami made very, very clear. He did say this. Why only Veda Jnanam? Any knowledge pertaining to anything, knowledge of anything in the world is manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge of any object also rises only in form of a thought in the mind. I think any teacher can explain anything. Any explanation, should result in what? Knowledge only. So any knowledge of anything is divine because it is manifestation of knowledge. Why? Because the source of knowledge happens to be only one reality, consciousness. The consciousness happens to be eternal. Any knowledge also of anything is a manifestation of knowledge. It can be pot knowledge, it can be book knowledge, it can be tiger knowledge, it can be knowledge, anything. Any knowledge is vritti with consciousness. Consciousness with the vritti is equal to manifest knowledge. Consciousness minus vritti is pure knowledge. How to differentiate here? Swarupa jnanam vritti jnanam. Swarupa jnanam vritti jnanam. What is Swarupa Jnanam? I understand only this today. I'll again explain the next class thoroughly for you. Very clearly explain to you. This abstract reality, formless reality, which we understand as our own Swarupam, which can be understood which only as our Swarupam, which is all pervasive, which has no beginning and end, which has no outside and inside, but is available for understanding in our mind as our own Swarupam, as Swarupam of the knower, that abstract, formless reality itself has to be understood only in terms of its nature of knowing. How is that reality? How is it? Formless. But reality itself is arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing. What is that which knows? In deep sleep state, what is that which knows? The blankness of mind. What is that which knows? The total ignorance of existence of the self and the world. What is it which knows? that knower of that, because of the presence of which the total ignorance is known, the blankness of mind is known, the darkness of ignorance is known, that knower is, we say, consciousness, formless. Therefore, the consciousness is the only source of knowledge. The power of consciousness manifest alone is knowledge. So, manifestation means vritti must be there. The vritti with the consciousness is vritti jnanam. The reality minus vritti is shuddham jnanam. Shuddham jnanam, shuddham chai, pure knowledge and manifest swarupa jnanam. Swarupa jnana means the abstract formless reality which is of the nature of knowing is swarupa jnanam. The reality implied with the term pure consciousness, pure knowledge, pure awareness is what? Swarupam jnanam. Swarupa jnanam. Swarupa jnanam doesn't come and go. Always there. Arrival of vrittis, existence of vrittis, resolution of vrittis. Always there, knowing, illumining, by mere presence. The vrittis arrival is known, arrival is known, arrival of vrittis is known, the departure of vrittis is known because of this pure consciousness. What about this? What about this vritti? And the vritti is inexplicably subtlest material product. We have to understand only in terms of cognitions, etc. That vritti with the consciousness alone is vritti jnanam. The knowledge with the vritti is vritti jnanam. Knowledge without vritti is swarupa jnanam. Swarupa jnanam, pure consciousness minus vritti. Vritti jnanam, consciousness or knowledge with vritti. So, vritti is means recognizable. Consciousness with the vritti is recognizable. We call it manifest knowledge. Without vritti, the pure consciousness is non-recognizable. That is why in sleep, you know, there's nothing is known. But nothing being there, being known, also is not known as long as you're in sleep. You have to wake up from sleep. Isn't it? Okay. Therefore, any knowledge of any object rises in him of a thought only, and the thought is what now shines in the presence of consciousness. Therefore, it is manifest knowledge. There was Pujya Swamiji always used to say, any knowledge is divine. That is why Saraswati for us, any, Swamiji used to say this. Even now that in Tamil we have some Dinatandi paper now. Even Dinatandi paper having rubbish information also, we revere, we won't put our leg on, foot on it, because it is knowledge. Any knowledge is divine for us. Ishvara, Saraswati. Information is knowledge. That's true. But what is special about Veda mantras? For Veda mantras, okay. See, when this Veda mantras is not something which is attained through intellectual exercise. Veda mantras were received because of the tapas of the rishis. They received. So when they received means there's no connection to the external world. Received and the knowledge manifests only in the form of thought only directly. They originally they obtained in the form of thoughts only. Not after learning the language. Not after learning the grammar, not after learning, knowing about the things in the world, no. Not based on what is being perceived. Knowledge rises based on the perception also, when you perceive things. It's not like that. Veda mantras were received directly in the form of knowledge. Therefore, they're already in the form of thoughts. And the thoughts which were shining in light of consciousness. Therefore, the Veda mantras always obtained only in the form of thoughts originally. So, primary meaning of the word mantra is what now? Mantra is always obtains in the form of a thought. Vritti rupaha mantraha. Vritti rupaha parantu jnanam, knowledge. It is the pure, timeless consciousness alone obtaining, being limited by the thought, pervading the thought is in the form of knowledge, in the form of thought. Vritti jnana. That is the only difference. Of course, therefore, what happens when the mantra is repeated? Repetition of a mantra is not the repetition of the memory of the mantra. Even if it is taught, it is heard in the form of a sound, goes back to mind, again remains of a thought, knowledge only. What is repeated is what? Repetitive. Manasa japaha means mantra itself is repeated. It's not memory of the mantra. Because originally it was not remains in the form of a memory. Of course, later on, all Mahatmas, when they composed many poems, Tyagaraja Swami composed and many Mahatmas composed, and of course, we have Aruthimu Nayanmarakal composed, Panar Advarakal composed, in different languages, in any other language, in every language, so many Mahatmas composed so many things. They all, let's say, all the works have authorship. Of course, they all came out from the knowledge which came in the minds, they came out, isn't it? Of course, that's why everything is revered as jnanam, no doubt. But uniqueness of Veda is different. That is, it directly straight away manifests with thoughts only. See, they compose, even for Mahatmas, who write such great poetry and all, Nayanmarakal, you can't write, isn't it? Anybody can write poetry like just that. And meaningfully, you know, the word should come flow like that. It's all grace of Bhagavan, definitely. Grace of Bhagavan, it's all definitely that something, they must have worked for it. Nothing comes easily. But Veda, perennial eternity of Veda is something which can be established. Don't worry, there's something very important lesson. We again discuss it. Okay. Until now, whatever I have covered, if there's any doubt, please feel free to text me. I will definitely clarify this. What is a mantra? Was a Yajur mantra, Rig mantra, Sama mantra? What's a mantra? That is, it's a refined, beautiful meaning of the word mantra. Refined definition of a mantra. Manovritti upadhi parichinnam. Manovritti nishtam. Anadiradanam atma chaitanyam. Is ejushabda vachyam. What is meant by the word yajuhu? What is meant by the word rik? What is meant by the word sama? Is nothing but the pure consciousness limited by, as limited by the thought, obtaining in the thought, and it is beginningless, endless consciousness alone is there in the form of manifest knowledge, recognizable knowledge. See, the pure consciousness Appearing in the thought is recognizable consciousness, is manifest knowledge. Without thought, non-recognizable. Consciousness alone is recognizably there in the presence of the thought as Veda mantra. That is the idea. I wish I can make you see this, what I'm saying. Okay, we'll do it. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.